W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. The Fed's strategy to raise interest rates has its critics. Consider prospective homeowners and realtors.
A lot of buyers have dropped out of the market and are sitting on the sidelines.
Well, today, CBS's Nancy Cordes says the interest rate boosting binge by policymakers will likely stop, at least for now.
Most analysts now believe that they're going to hit the pause button, thanks in part to those latest inflation numbers from May, which show that prices are up just 4% from a year ago. And I say just because inflation has now been cut by more than half since the peak of 9.1% last June, as we were coming out of the pandemic.
The next phase in the federal case against former President Trump will likely play out before a judge he appointed, Eileen Cannon.
Judge Cannon is going to issue an order, and that order is, thou shalt come to court on such and such a date. By such and such a date, you will get discovery. By another date, you will file your motions to dismiss or other motions about evidence. And on such and such a date, longer away, there will be a trial.
That's CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman. House Republicans on the attack today, targeting the Homeland Security Secretary. Tennessee's Mark Green labels border policy a failure.
107,000 dead Americans in 1 year alone to narcotics, fentanyl, etc., pouring across our southern border. Alejandro Mayorkas's policies are the cause of all of this.
Differing accounts as a Virginia teacher who was wounded in class no longer works in the school district. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The Newport News Virginia school system says Abby Zwerner has resigned as a first grade teacher. Her lawyer says that she was fired by school administrators. She had sued the district for $40 million, accusing school officials of gross negligence.
Prosecutors are accusing the weapons supervisor on the set where Alec Baldwin shot and killed a cinematographer of drinking and smoking marijuana in the evenings during the filming. They say she was likely hungover when she loaded a live bullet into the revolver. Overseas in Italy, the funeral today for the country's longest-serving prime minister. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
As the white-gloved pallbearers lifted the coffin to their shoulders, applause in Milan's cathedral for the populist, partying billionaire turned politician. Outside the cathedral, thousands of supporters applauded Silvio Berlusconi too, some chanting and waving the banner of his Forza Italia party.
Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 100 points. The S&P is up 13. This is CBS News.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is the Civ Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We're getting word of a small plane crash near Watertown late this morning. We're still finding out information as it comes in. We'll tell you as much as we know right now on your local news coming up on many of these civic media radio stations. Governor Evers' deal with Republican leaders of the Wisconsin legislature on shared revenue may be in trouble. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Sources tell WIS Politics that advocates of the bill were still lobbying Republican senators into the night last night. A final vote on a share revenue bill is expected today. Under the bill, the state would send 20% of money raised from the state sales tax and send $1.5 billion to local communities. Aid would grow along with money raised from the sales tax. The money could only be spent on police and fire protection, emergency medical services and response communications, and public works and transportation. The Milwaukee City Council and County Board would have the option of voting to increase their local sales taxes. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, the state assembly turns its attention to addressing Wisconsin's housing shortage. Lawmakers are setting aside an hour and 15 minutes to debate one bill called the NIMBY, or Not in My Backyard bill. It aims to stop people and groups from blocking development projects. Other bills would encourage Main Street housing and converting commercial buildings to apartments and condominiums. Wisconsin ranks high in the latest annual report measuring child well-being in the United States. But the Kids Count Databook rankings also show there's still work to do. Mike Moen reports.
The research from the Annie E. Casey Foundation now includes firm data from post-pandemic years, giving policy groups and nonprofits a better sense of how childhood development was affected by the crisis. Emily Mayota of the statewide policy group Kids Forward says Wisconsin ranks 10th in the nation for overall child well-being, but she adds it's clear that many families are still struggling.
When parents are unemployed or are earning low wages, their access to resources to support their kids' development is more limited.
The report says 13% of Wisconsin children are living in poverty, and Mayota says the crisis has exacerbated disparities in economic well-being. Nationally, there were worsening trends in reading and math scores and more kids whose parents lack secure employment. As for health, there's also been a significant increase in the number of babies born at low birth weights. I'm Mike Moen.
The well-being of one particular child is a big concern in the Baraboo area. Searchers are combing the area for a third day looking for 13-year-old James Yablonski. He hasn't been seen since he left his home in Reedsburg overnight Sunday with a knife and a handgun. Chip Meister is the Sauk County Sheriff. He tells NBC 15 in Madison that the search is focused on wooded areas near Baraboo Bluffs, Devil's Lake State Park, and the Sauk Prairie Recreational Area.
The woods is very thick. There's rock ledges, there's cliffs, there's, it's very thick in there, it's hard. You could be 6-8 feet from another deputy and you can't see that deputy.
Searchers got a break in the case when they found a makeshift campground with some of James's belongings on Monday. Two new drugs could slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. Aduhelm and Leqembi are showing promising results in clinical trials. Lauren Livingston of the Alzheimer's Association says people in the early stages of Alzheimer's start to forget how to do routine tasks.
Forgetting how to use the microwave or forgetting how to get home from the grocery store, not being able to retrace their steps. Those are some really common signs.
There's still no cure. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Former WFHR employee Roger Lewis Sweet passed away on June 2nd at the age of 85. Roger worked for this station and WWRW in Wisconsin Rapids for a number of years in sales and marketing, on air, and in production. He graduated from the Milwaukee School of Broadcasting, then taught there for several years. He worked in the broadcasting industry for 44 years and will be greatly missed by his wife, Kathleen Sweet, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and other family members, as well as residents in Wood County. A new option to help homeless, recovering, or financially struggling people in Wood County is one step closer to opening in Wisconsin Rapids. Sheriff Sean Becker is one of the steering committee members.
County Board Supervisor Adam Fisher given me the opportunity to see Mary's Place in Marshfield and what they did for people, you know, and that was, to be honest, where I was hooked.
The newly remodeled brick building on 8th Avenue South was built in the 1930s, according to volunteer and committee member Danita Carlton.
It was completely gutted inside. Now, before that, it was an apartment complex. Before that, I'm not quite sure what the building was.
It now contains 11 units that can accommodate individuals or families that participate in the program.
It's a short stay to get people on track, looking for employment, looking for full-time housing. So it's truly transitional.
That was Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis, who also said this fills a need in Wood County, and they're encouraged by the success Mary's Place has experienced in Marshfield. In Rafters News, an official statement was issued yesterday. Due to an administrative error with the Rapids roster, the Rafters' win on 6-12 against the Lakeshore Chinooks has been ruled a no contest by the Northwoods League. Last night, the Rafters won 6-1 against the Chinooks. They play again on Thursday when they take on the Kalamazoo Growlers at Witter Field. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. It's getting hot in here. The dial has been turned up and the heat is blasting into the state again. High temperatures are going to climb into the mid-80s near the Mississippi Valley and into the low 80s throughout the central portions of the state. Meanwhile, Great Lakes towns will sit much more comfortable with highs hitting the 70s. That sunshine will be in full force today, but may look hazy as wildfire smoke from Canada makes its way back into the northwestern portions of the state now and works its way southeast throughout the day and into tomorrow morning. morning. An air quality alert has been issued and is expected to reach an unhealthy for sensitive groups level. Chances for pop-up scattered showers and storms may strike this evening for some, mainly focused around the Green Bay area, but most of us will be staying dry. Have a wonderful Wednesday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers battle the Twins. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a 5-3 lead last night at Target Field. Christian Yelich with a double, a home run, and four runs batted in. But in the bottom of the ninth, the Twins' Michael A. Taylor hit a solo shot off of Milwaukee closer Devin Williams, Donovan Solano with an RBI single, and then shortstop Carlos Correa came to the plate with one run on. Dick Bremer with the call.
Now Correa, 0-4 on the night. A drive!
The Brewers losing 7-5. The Twins' Correa after the game on Bally Sports North.
Feels great. You know, they got a great team on the other side, great pitching. And, you know, Kobe Burns did a great job. But at the end of the day, you know, we were able to put good at-bats together, win the first game of this homestand, and let's go. Let's keep going.
In the visitors' clubhouse, the Brewers' Devin Williams, after suffering his first blown save of the season.
I mean, they put some good swings on the ball, and you saw the results. I don't really think I need to explain much. Taylor jumped on me early, and then I walk a guy, which can't happen. He steals second, base hit scores him. As much as we strive for it, you're never going to be perfect. You know, it's one of those days.
Craig Counsell.
You know, I mean, I think he was ahead of Taylor 0-1, and he was ahead of Correa 0-1. So, you know, he left the changeup up to Correa, and it was a high fastball to Taylor. So, you know, I know it doesn't happen often, but it's going to happen.
Milwaukee now trying to snap a 5-game losing streak. Game 2 of the 2-game series coming up here in a couple of minutes. First pitch at 12:10. Colin Ray on the mound against the Twins' Bailey Ober. And a roster move. The Brewers activated left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer from the DL, then optioned him to Nashville. Last night, they signed outfielder Ramel Tapia after he was released by the Red Sox. Hockey, the Vegas Golden Knights won their first Stanley Cup with a 9-3 win over the Florida Panthers in just their sixth season as an NHL franchise. NFL, the Packers held practice during their minicamp, working on all three phases, including special teams. Rookie place kicker Anders Carlson was 5 of 6 in field goal attempts, making one from 54 yards out, but hitting the left upright from 44. Matt LaFleur.
He's got a lot of leg. He's got a big-time leg, and I think it's just kind of harnessing that power and making sure it's very consistent. But I think he's shown improvement throughout the course of the offseason.
Free agent safety Adrian Amos signing a one-year deal with the Jets yesterday, becoming the fifth former Packer to join Aaron Rodgers. Quarterback Jordan Love completing passes to Christian Watson and a touchdown to Romeo Doubs with Jair Alexander in coverage.
Yeah, man, he deserved it, man. He's been working hard. I've been watching the practices, you know. Him and Christian has been standing out, so he's been working hard, man. He deserved that one, you know. But, you know, when camp come around, we're going to see about that.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Wachs has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Knox, GTWLawyers.com.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
It's June Dairy Month. And though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr. Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter,
Policy Research Director.
And lead. Oh, sorry, Luke, just giving the intro. Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And you, good sir, are?
Stepping on your toes, apparently, this morning. We're still learning the dance here at Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers here at Civic Media, and we got Aaron on the board. You and the listening audience, if you want to share your thoughts with us on this edition of Town Call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon, Will?
Well, it's a really good thing I brought my steel toes. I woke up this morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to go bootsy today, and I'm very happy that I did because I have been protected from the immense weight of Luke stepping all over me.
Ouch, that's a fat joke right there. Okay, cool. Cool,
man. No.
Cool, cool, cool.
I meant you're an intellectual giant.
Cool, 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 cool. All right. So what are we talking about on this edition of Town Call, Will?
Well, it is June 14th. It's kind of nice, actually, finally, in my neck of the woods, even though I do still have the long sleeve on. I can deal with this weather. It's not too cold for me or anything. But June 14th, Luke, I don't know if you knew this, but it is like birthday haven today. Birthday Palooza. I like that. That's a better way to go with it. It is Flag Day, but it is also Fighting Bob Day, Robert La Follette Senior Day in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Public School Observance Day required by statute if school is in session, commemorating Robert La Follette, born June 14th of 1855, who served in the U.S. House of Representatives as governor in Wisconsin and in the U.S. Senate. He was one of the founders of the Progressive Party. Big shout out to Fighting Bob. If you have not read up on him, he is a monumental figure in Wisconsin history and just a fascinating individual that I think all Wisconsinites should be well versed in. On top of Fightin' Bob, we also have Donald Trump's birthday. So got a little bit of an early birthday present yesterday. Che Guevara, Jim Sensenbrenner, Sam Perkins, Steffi Graf, three-time NBA champion Bruce Bowen, Gunna, and Montgomery Edward Scott, the chief engineering officer on the USS Enterprise, who is slated to be born in the year 2160.
On this date, in
2160.
30-some years from now. Yeah. Cool. Also, here at Civic Media, we got Dom Salvia, co-host of The Devil's Advocates, and a friend of mine and I think the station here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, Scott Ross. The ethics firebrand himself, Scott Ross, also. So as you noted, Flag Day, tons of birthdays, Birthday Palooza. If you have a birthday, we'd love to hear about it. 844-967-2789. Because apparently a lot of people born on June 14th. Will?
Happy birthday to all the June 14ers. I'm doing a little mental math to see what was 9 months before today, and I can't think of anything that would be
the middle of September,
like important or special. Like, it's the middle of September. I mean, my birthday is the end of September, so if everybody wants to celebrate that, that's fine. But you know, Fightin' Bob was born in the 1850s, so I was not really a thing at that point. Luke, we got a question for the audience today. We are talking budget at the state level. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? If you were an elected official, what would you like to see in the upcoming two-year budget? We're going to start with the Republican delayed
844-967-2789, though. We want to know, if you were a lawmaker, in this little thought exercise, if you had the ability to contribute to the writing of the upcoming 2-year budget, what would you include? 844-967-2789. Give us a call, send us a text. We want to know.
Stepping on my toes again, Luke. I was going to get there.
No, you're wearing the boots. So now that I know that you've got safety, I don't feel bad about it.
True. That's why we would better be – I'm a big proponent of better safe than sorry. So I will always take that approach from now on. I think I might have to wear the steel toes every day just in case. So we're reading from a piece at the AP. Republicans delay vote on University of Wisconsin budget after promises to cut diversity funds. Republican state lawmakers on Tuesday suspended a vote on funding for the University of Wisconsin campuses hours after a top GOP leader promised to slash the college system's budget as part of an ongoing fight over diversity and inclusion initiatives. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the state's top Republican, told the AP on Tuesday he expected the GOP-controlled legislature's budget writing committee to cut all funding that the university system would use for diversity initiatives, estimating the cuts would total $32 million. Now, Luke, this is very, very interesting because there, obviously, Voss's plan was to simply remove DEI initiatives in every way, shape, and form, but he could not do that. So instead, he cut the value he estimated them to be worth from the budget and said he's essentially threatening the UW system, right? You could just remove these things that we want gone and the rest of your budget will stay the exact same and you don't have to worry about cuts. Or if you want to keep a program that I don't think is necessary, then you're going to have to find a way to save that $32 million elsewhere. It's frankly gross.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that Democratic Governor Tony Evers, when learning about this, essentially equated the threat of these budget cuts to war on higher education in Wisconsin. So it seems like this is going to be the next sticking point for the divided government here in Wisconsin. And I think it's to be expected that there's not going to be a whole lot of kumbaya right away. There's going to be some negotiations. There's going to be compromises sought. And so the starting point now for the UW systems budget negotiations are the governor's Evers administration is seeking a $305 million increase to the budget, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and I would assume it's going to be the line for Republicans, at least in the Assembly, if not in the legislature as a whole, is to cut the funding by $32 million. I have a feeling we're going to, as a state of Wisconsin, experiencing divided government right now, come somewhere in the middle of those two numbers, but it's going to be interesting to see how those conversations continue to be had. There was 8 hours of closed door discussions among lawmakers yesterday, ultimately around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night last night. They said, hey, we're not going to be voting on this anymore. We're going to suspend this vote. And so it's interesting that this is where the Republican caucus is when it comes to funding the UW system. I think it's important to note that kind of shows that maybe there's not just divided government between the legislature and the governor's office. Maybe there's divided government among Republican lawmakers as well, because an 8-hour closed session is a long closed door session, Will. That is a long time to be discussing behind those doors on what to do for University of Wisconsin system funding for the next 2 years. And ultimately, if they don't come to a compromise, it will be interesting to see what happens. But we want to know what your priorities would be if you were in behind those closed doors, if you had the option to and the opportunity to contribute to writing the upcoming 2-year budget. What would you include? 844-967-2789. We want to hear from you. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can call or text 844-967-2789.
And if you would like to, you can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Republicans continue to follow their fearless leader who once said, I love the poorly educated. They're going to do everything they can to cut public education and give it whatever excuses they want to. Of course, right now, they're just firing towards inciting their base. Oh, diversity, this is racist. Excuse me? That's exactly the opposite. But more importantly, these guys have been gerrymandered in so long that they think there are absolutely no voter consequences. That's for the last 12, 13 years. That's what they found out. And they just don't care what they do. They're going to do what they want to do, and to heck with anybody else. If I were Governor Evers and had any input into it, I would start out with their first top 10 priorities. The first thing I would take off the list is I would say I'm going to absolutely line item veto any private money, any public money for private education in this state. And then I'd go down the list to the next nine important topics and say, I'm going to veto this and this and this and this. Now let's talk and really compromise. Because that's what's got to happen. These guys don't listen to anything else.
That's a great point, Jack. Well, and Jack, what do you think about this? So the plan that the legislative Republicans have proposed will be boosting funding to K-8 private choice schools from about $8,400 per student to $9,500 per student, while private choice high schools will go from $9,045 per student to $12,000 per student. Robin Voss said, quote, "The good news is every one of the numbers is still less than what is spent on any public school in the state. We are lucky in Wisconsin that we have an incredibly robust school choice program for the kids who need a different school and the parents who want a different alternative. They will have the resources to keep those schools as great as they are today." He is essentially stating that, you know, we are going to siphon these public dollars and give them to the private schools because they're better, they're more efficient. I'm not sure, but it seems like another attempt by legislative Republicans to kind of distance themselves, their friends, and their children from what they see as the rest of us, the public schoolites, the regular people that we're not a part of. We're able to privatize that. Do you think that's acceptable?
I think that's absolutely outrageous. First thing I'm going to say about that is this. I spent over 40 years teaching at a whole bunch of different levels, from sixth grade through university, in public, private, and parochial schools in Wisconsin and Minnesota both. And first of all, the important testing that all the Republicans rely on shows pretty clearly there is no significant difference between the results of private schools and public schools. The second thing is that school choice means that just exactly that. The school gets to choose, and I know because I worked in at least one of those, the school gets to choose whom they decide to take on and who they don't want to. And, boy, if there's anybody that's got any problems and really needs some help, they don't get it. And I know because I was told specifically that by the administration at the private school that I worked at. I said, these kids have this problem, and your people have this training. They should be working with them. And he said, well, we can't afford to do that. So school choice, yeah, they get to choose whom they serve and whom they don't.
That's a brilliant point as well, Jack. Actually, I'd like to get back to that after the break, if you don't mind sticking around, because as you noted, private schools aren't held to the same standards as public schools. They are able to discriminate against those who have potentially have special needs, against the LGBTQ plus community. They don't have to accept students for any reason that they deem inappropriate, which means they are siphoning our public funds off to be able to create a specialized environment with only individuals that they want there. It's gross, and we're going to continue covering it after the break. We want to hear from you. What are your priorities? What would you like to see in the upcoming budget? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
And if you got a birthday shout out, share it. It's Birthday Palooza on Town Call.
Birthday Palooza, happy birthday.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Live on stage, a tribute from Steve Bobbitt, Logan Ramey, and Christopher Lonsdorf. The rock and roll sounds of Rod Stewart, Elvis, and Buddy Holly. Also country artists Jeff Landon and Jeff Cannon. And don't miss the Blues Brothers. Bring a lawn chair for all the shows. Free admission and enjoy over 70 booth vendors, kids games, the Zor Clowns, and concessions. It's all happening during the Holiday Spirit Zor Funster Benefit Event, Saturday, October 14th and 15th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 100 baskets to raffle with 100 winners and 100% of the raffle going to the Shriners Children's Hospitals. A car cruise in each day, weather permitting. Special treats. Captain America, Batman, and the Kit Car from Knight Rider. Saturday is costume day. Dress up for some spooktacular fun. An event for the whole family Saturday, October 14th and 15th at Arnott Lions Park, corner of Highway J and 4th Street in Arnott. Sponsored in part by Renee's Red Rooster, Chatterbox, Sparhawk Trucking, and Civic Media.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give
it. You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight. Except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 84, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows level off around 56. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 75.
To get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today, we are talking the Wisconsin budget. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? What would you like to see enacted in the upcoming two-year budget if you were an elected official? And Luke, we've been covering education particularly in the budget. And something that I want to touch on that I think we haven't really covered enough or as in-depth as we probably should is the massive teacher shortage that we're seeing in public schools. If you're a teacher, if you have experience with teachers, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, as someone who has worked in the education department, You have to be seeing this as well, right? A 2022 survey by School Choice Wisconsin found 355 open K-12 positions at the 133 choice schools that responded, while similar research found MPS was down 230 teachers, and the Madison Metropolitan School District had a 140 teacher vacancy during that time frame. We are asking a lot of our teachers. We are not giving them the respect and dignity that, in my opinion, they deserve, and frankly, they're significantly underpaid. Are all of these issues intertwined? What do you think we could be doing to be drawing more teachers to the state of Wisconsin?
Well, the first thing that you'd have to do is get rid of Act 10. I mean, that's just been a disaster. That, in fact, was one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that caused me to retire when I finally did after 40 years of teaching. My son, who just recently graduated from the university, with a degree in teaching, is not going to teach in Wisconsin because the climate for teaching in this state has been made so hostile by things like Act 10. He's going to go to Minnesota to teach.
Now, Jack, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that all of the U-Hauls would be coming to Wisconsin from Minnesota because of the taxes that they passed in Minnesota. Are you're telling me that there's a U-Haul going the other way because of the teaching climate here in Wisconsin?
Oh, for sure. That's the case with, again, with my son. You know, I can't speak for other people, but I do know that that is the primary reason that he's going to Minnesota. It is, and it's not just a hostile environment for teaching, it's the overall environment of this state. Everything from the lack of expansion of Badger Care, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to cannabis reform, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to women's medical rights, which is a separate issue, but is still important to young people.
I think that's incredibly interesting, Jack, that you mentioned Badger Care expansion as well as cannabis legalization, because that is a topic we will be jumping to in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to hear from Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what are your thoughts on the upcoming budget?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that the Republicans are vastly increasing the funding for the private and the voucher schools that and that when they're not required to the same testing requirements as the public schools, that it has been pointed out that if a child in the private schools doesn't meet up to their standards, they can just eject that child, keep the money, and eject that child from the school system. And because in Wisconsin, you know, children are entitled to a education as citizens of the state of Wisconsin, that the public schools would have to accept them. And it just is another sign of the Republican hypocrisy on this issue that just continues to gall me, because those voucher schools should all be subject to the same testing requirements as any of the public schools, required to meet the same standards as any of the public schools. Then they can say, well, if the parents are satisfied, that's good enough for us. Well, baloney, you know, that we are also a customer as taxpayers of those voucher schools.
Well, Mark, it seems like the voucher expansion is going to be included in the upcoming biennial budget through the compromise to send roughly 20% of all future state sales tax back to local communities to address the problems that we've been seeing in the shared revenue formula and local communities not having the resources they need to fund all kinds of services, from emergency response, firefighting, police officers, law enforcement, to roads, to any number of priorities that these communities have to fund. It seems like voucher schools are going to get a boost in this upcoming budget through that compromise. But what would you like to see in the upcoming budget, Mark? If you were behind those closed doors, what would you like to see included in the upcoming two-year budget?
Well, I'd like to see the engineering school actually funded, because that would bring in more students to the state of Wisconsin and provide for more educated engineers that we need as part of, you know, a growing economy. And but I'd also like to see, as I just stated, that if the voucher schools are going to be receiving the state funds, that they should be required to meet the same standards as the public schools. and get the public, you know, because I'm a public product of the public schools. I remember very well my grade school teachers, you know, high school teachers, junior high school teachers, you know, and the lessons that they taught. I mean, that, you know, I think that they would be, a lot of the Republicans today would have been horrified at the information that I was given as a fifth grader about the Nazis in the Holocaust. I mean, that I was given vivid descriptions by fifth and sixth grade teachers about how the evils of the Nazis. And I don't think the Republicans today would think very highly of that because that, you know, they want to think that everything, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around,
So higher standards for the receiving of the public dollars for voucher schools. This is what you'd like to see included in the upcoming biennial budget.
I'd like to see that too. If we expect public schools to meet those higher standards, then the voucher schools should meet those standards as well. And if you want to start educating kids, you got to start early. You got to provide kids from the time that they're born with good medical care and opportunities. And learning opportunities before they even get into school. Because I can remember my mother was reading to me back when I was a small child, and I had books memorized that my grandfather actually tried to start spouting nonsense when he was reading to me back to me in the Golden Book of Dinosaurs. Apparently I turned to him, because just reading nonsense, apparently I turned to him and said, I know that's not what it says. And it must have been like, you know, three or four when he was
memorizing the books back then, Mark, and increasing funds for literary literacy here in Wisconsin, part of the compromises as well that are being discussed between lawmakers in the state capitol, along with the Evers administration and the Department of Public Instruction. Appreciate your contribution to today's edition of Town Call, Mark. You can be like Mark, 844-967-2789. We want to hear if you were a lawmaker, if you had the ability to contribute to the budget writing process, what would you include in the upcoming two-year budget? 844-967-2789. And Will, as you noted, there are a variety of things that we know are going to be included and know aren't going to be included, especially after some comments yesterday at a forum that was attended by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Mm-hmm. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss reading from a piece over at WPR, noting that as the piece is titled, Medicaid expansion will never happen, but medical marijuana might. Voss said Wisconsin's Badger Care program covers the state's poorest citizens, making Medicaid expansion unnecessary. Now, this is, again, as we have now heard from multiple callers, the vast majority of Wisconsinites support the expansion of Medicaid in the state, and the vast majority of Wisconsinites support, at a minimum, medical marijuana legalization. That's not even to get into the discussion of recreational. But Robin Voss, at a luncheon hosted by Wisconsin Health News at the Madison Club, spoke about his healthcare priorities, including his overarching philosophy that American healthcare is accessible and high quality and therefore costs more. Luke, you noted this during the break, how humorous that kind of statement was, because every piece of information out there says otherwise.
I would think that he hasn't spent a whole lot of time in the medical world, then, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. From comments like that, he hasn't had a whole lot of experience with the medical system, would be my takeaway from those comments. But we want to know. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, not going to include Badger Care or Medicaid expansion in the upcoming budget. He says it's never going to be, it's a non-starter as long as he is the leader of the Republican caucus in the state assembly. What would you include in the upcoming biennial budget? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Lou from Cudahy calling in. Lou, what would you like to see included in the upcoming budget?
Well, if I was a Wisconsin legislator, I would increase budgeting for homeschool situations and for charter schools, because when those kids get out of those school situations, they actually can spell, they can write, they have word comprehension. They know how to separate words into syllables so you can sound a word out and figure it out. They don't get that with public schools. They can't read at grade level. They can't do math at grade level in public schools. That's why public schools are a failure. And that also is why parents want to remove their kids. They're not getting educated. They are getting indoctrinated into leftist ideology. What do you think of that?
Lou, I went through public school and I can read pretty well.
Really? Well, you would be the exception, not the rule.
Are you sure?
I also went through public school, Lou,
and I read
quite well.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. That's good because you are the exception. Public schools are a monster failure. That's why in other states and in our state, Wisconsin's public schools are failures, and the people who want to get their kids educated either through homeschool or charter schools, they're happy to move. That's why I know that people from the left, like you, are frightened of losing control of the educational system because that's how you indoctrinate people. And I can appreciate how you wouldn't like charter schools.
Lou, I'm curious if you have any data that backs up your assertion that public schools are completely failing.
Go on the internet and you can find all kinds of. Google it and see what you come up with.
That's interesting, Lou. You're putting the onus on us to prove the point that you are trying to make. I don't know if you're familiar with research journals and how they generally work, but when you are making a statement, it's typically on the individual to have the information that backs that up rather than just saying, go and find it yourself. I don't know if this has changed since the time that I spent involved, but
since you're the wizard of smart, can you give me a reason why there's such a big exodus out of the public schools and into private schools and into charter schools? What would be the reason?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'd like to know where you're seeing that information, that people are leaving public schools en masse to private schools. I can speak from I'll give you a personal anecdote in that I attended Germantown High School, which is, you know, rural suburban-ish high school, considered one of the better schools in the state. Significant amount of individuals who went to some of the highest rated national universities. And we did not have any of the problems, I guess, that you have been in pointing out that public schools tend to have. We had very high standardized test scores. Now, if you want to argue whether standardized test scores is the end all be all, that's fine. I'm more than willing to have that conversation. I think public schools should be teaching critical thought. But as the American education system is currently built, we do use standardized test scores to kind of judge which students are at higher or lower levels than other students. And public schools produce a significant percentage of the total graduates of universities at the state level because we have so many students that are in these schools. Where did you go to high school, if you don't mind me asking, Luke?
I do mind you asking. I wouldn't tell that to somebody from the left.
Did you go to a public high school, Lou?
If you're on this radio station,
Lou, did you go to a public high school?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, well, it's a shame that you want to contribute to the conversation and share whether or not you got a public education. It seems strange that if you did, that you're so against it now. It's also important to point that there are problems still in public schools. I think one of the largest problems is the fact that public school districts have to be reliable on property taxes for funding, and therefore poorer areas have fewer resources to be able to put in to those public schools. And then when those same areas are attacked by conservative or liberal state lawmakers at any point, they are the ones hurt the most. And so, yeah, there are flaws to the system. The system can be improved, but it's very difficult to fund two systems at the same time, which is what is happening right now. We are funding both the public system and a private voucher system with state tax dollars. And we want to hear what you think, though. 844-967-2789. Do you agree with?
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Wisconsin Rapids area will host the 18th annual Cranberry Blossom Festival, June 15th through the 18th, 2023. Join us as we celebrate our blossoming community with 25 events for the whole family, including a carnival, live music, arts, a parade, and more. Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, the four-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Traditional favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts Parade, and the Duck Derby. For more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
If you're searching for a lawn service that delivers exceptional results, S. Johnson Lawn Service is at your service. With years of experience in the industry, their team specializes in custom designs and complete remodels. And S. Johnson Lawn Service is now hiring drivers and a licensed fertilizer technician. They're also willing to train. Visit sjohnsonlawnservice.com or call 715-305-4729 today for a free estimate. That's 715-305-4729. S. Johnson Lawn Service. Quality landscaping and design services at competitive prices.
In Wisconsin, Badger hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning 6 championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check. Visit UW Health, the number one orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss. The number one hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 84, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight, lows around 56, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 77. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Be like Greg, give us a call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing, Greg?
Hi, I'm great. Hey, I don't have much to say about education, but one of the things that I think that needs to be looked at in the budget is I'm totally blind myself, and I rely on transportation, buses, cabs, you know, Ubers, et cetera, to get around. And not just buses, but I mentioned those other things just to mention them. And say that they're alternative forms. And I'd like to see more investment in the transportation, sector of things, specifically for disabilities. This is something that the disability community has been kind of wanting, is more and more transportation options. City buses aren't always the most convenient or reliable sometimes, but just more in Waukesha County. I know that we have a program called the Share Fare Taxi Program, which is through the County Department of Senior Services, but I'd like to see more investment in the areas of transportation and transportation research.
Thank you so much for sharing. We actually covered yesterday's episode was pretty much entirely about public transportation, the value that it can provide to a community and how important it really is to have those options available. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Mike from Wisconsin Rapids on the line. Mike, what would you like to see in Wisconsin's biennial budget?
Mike, do we have you? All right, we'll have to go back to Mike in a little bit. We'll see if Aaron can check on Mike there, but let's go over to Chris in Madison now. Chris, what would you, if you were behind these closed doors in the legislature, getting to contribute to what would be included in the upcoming 2-year budget, what would you like to see funded here in the state of Wisconsin, Chris?
I was going to first comment on Lou. I think he's full of it. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
You were on a roll. I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah. My son went to the second best private school in Madison, and it really ruined him for school. After leaving there, he was a COVID kid, so he transitioned to high school during COVID. But he refused to go to school for like 2 years after going to that private school. And he loves West now, but but he refuses to, he like refused to go to school for over 2 years, and it really hurt him with his schooling. And I went to public schools in 2000. I graduated in 2000, and they were the best in the nation in Madison back then. We had the top four schools in the nation in Madison, which is, so this privatization of everything is just ruining things. And Act 10 just wrecked the schools also. So my mom retired during the Act 10 debacle. And these people just don't know, aren't paying attention to things 6 months ago, much less 10 years ago.
And Chris, your mother was a teacher. She retired from teaching during that.
She was an LD teacher before that.
Gotcha.
And she taught for 15 years in Madison schools.
And we're losing excellent teachers left and right, as you said, because of policies such as Act 10. Wisconsin is facing a massive, massive teacher shortage. We're going to go back to the phone lines again. Thanks for joining us today, Chris. We have Dick from Madison. Dick, what would you like to see in the biennial budget?
I'd like to respond to Lou as well. My oldest daughter, she's 36 now, so this is back in about, we had situations where she went to a private parochial school in Madison, I won't name the parish, until fifth grade, and then from then on, public. Okay. Along about 1996, I was dropping her off at school, and it was election time. And I don't know if you guys remember the little signs that used to say, "We vote pro-life," and they had kind of a flag, what looked like a flag, you know, behind it. Well, this was also a polling place. And when he talks about indoctrinating or pushing an agenda, I went right into the school office that day and I said, I've got a question. This is right on the walkway up to the building. I believe that's called electioneering. Is that the term? And
yes.
I don't think that sign is appropriate outside of a polling place. So to Lou, who thinks that, you know, this liberal agenda or whatever, don't give me that. Because I've seen it from, you know, I've seen it firsthand. I said, I would like that sign removed today. And you should have seen the look on their face. It was like, and all this. And I said, no, this is wrong. You can have this belief as this church. Move that up the parking lot to where the church is, not down here by the school. And then I'm fine with it.
And there's a reason that polling places are not allowed to have any type of, individual candidate or partisan type behavior there, because it is supposed to be a place of independence. And I think you made a good point as well, Dick, that there is the idea that these private schools are somehow, I don't know if superior is the right word, but we have anecdotal experience from numerous callers now who have shared their personal experience. And I think, you know, if you go and talk to the people of Wisconsin, if you talk to the teachers of Wisconsin, you'll see that public schools really are the bedrock of a lot of our communities.
Yeah, and I, like Dick's daughter, I also had parochial education and public education. I valued them both, but to belittle one over the other, I think is nonsense. We got about a minute left. Let's head over to Mike in Wisconsin Rapids. Mike, what would you like to see in the upcoming biennial budget?
I guess what I'd like to see is fiscal responsibility. I don't know. You know, the problem is everybody wants stuff, but how do you pay for it? And as a business person my entire life, taxes keep going up and up. Now, maybe it's not necessarily the income tax, but stuff that used to be included in tax is now a fee, other fees for things that used to be included. And I think fiscal responsibility. I went to public school, and I got a good education. I went to Nakusa. I got a good education. My daughters and my wife went to parochial school, and I believe I got a better education.
That's completely fair. Sorry to cut you short, Mike, but we got to head to the end here. It's important to note as well, though, the budget, $7 billion surplus. And so.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances.